Oh, welcome to Christ Community Church. I see a lot of friends and visitors, and make yourself at home. You know, everybody comes to church with a different idea in their brain. So whatever your idea in your brain was, just kind of relax and free up that space for putting it on to God. And we have a family environment. That was my daughter just came up to me and asked me if I could hold a plastic hammer. She's like, "Can you hold this?" I'm like, not right now. Maybe later. And so just relax. Welcome to Christ Community Church. We're glad that you're here. We're glad that the microphone works. We're glad that the air conditioning works, sometimes too good in some places and you know, just right in other places. But with all that being said, to the best of your ability, forget that just happened. And put your mind on the Lord. We're going to worship in song, and the band is really good, but we're not here for them. This is not a concert. This is to inspire us to look above, to look to Christ. There's one audience member. A lot of people say, hey, there's a lot to be said for the audience. That's great, but there's but one audience member here, and that's the Lord. We don't worship to each other. It's God-focused. It's Godward. So keep that in mind as we sing. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to get rolling. Good to see you here this morning. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for this time. And Lord, as we worship through song, through word and prayer, Father, help us to be mindful of who you are, of what you've done, and who we are because of what you've done. And Lord, we love you, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grandbaby wants to come up here with us. What Brother John was talking about, praise, man. We love what we're doing up here, but we are here to help lead the church in worship. And that's what we want to do, is worship our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is worthy of all honor, all glory, and all praise. If y'all would stand with us on this song, Our God Saves.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to fall on your grace. Hear the joyful sound of our offering as your saints bow down. we will rise with you, lifted on your wings, and the world will see that. Yes, the world will see that. Our God sends. Our God sends. There is hope in your name. Shake off the worries and the cares.
Lift your hands if you want to. Lift your voice. Lift your heart and say, yeah, God saves. God is good. There's good news. There's reason to rejoice. They asked me if I'd fill this time and kind of share something. And I told them I was going to dance, like I was going to do a little boogie. And I thought to myself, some people might think that's a little weird. And it is. But the point is, we don't nearly celebrate enough how good God is and how worthy He is of our praise. And I'm afraid, sometimes we're afraid to look a little silly in expressing ourselves. And that's all right. You'll get to a place, but I want to tell you this. He's worthy of everything we got. That's who we sing to. That's who we preach. That's our God.
Mercy for
opportunity to be in your house this morning, to worship your name, to sing praises to your name. As John comes to bring the message, God, I just pray that you would speak through him, speak to our hearts, and have us hear what we need to this morning. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.
Those who are in Nani's class, ready, break. I got to have a safe spot. I'll stay put. We're going to be continuing our series on worship. We've been speaking about catching a vision of worship. Just while everybody's filing out and they're doing a good job, the parade of the kiddos. I want us to maybe for a moment reflect on that song that we just sang. It does something strange. It says, "I'm sorry." You don't often hear that in a worship song or any kind of song, an apology to God. It says, "I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it." What do you suppose he was talking about? The author of that song, Matt Redman, what do you think he was getting at? "I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing that we've made it." It's supposed to be all about you. Is what the chorus goes through. So what is it he's apologizing for? Do you think maybe there's a tendency among the church and among human beings to try to steal the attention a little bit for ourselves? Adrian Rogers gave me a phrase that I like to use. He called it the sin of preference. The sin of preference. When worship becomes about the style we prefer, the way we prefer, the what we prefer. I think that's what Matt Redman was getting at when he says when the music fades, when everything is stripped away, it's not about what I prefer, but about who you are. You know, the bottom line is worship comes down to who God is. If we don't get anything else from our worship series, that would be pretty good, that we ought to subject ourselves under God, under who he really is. And not just live by what we prefer all the time, what makes us happy, what we want. Good to be here at Christ Community Church. I was just gone this past Sunday, but it seems like it's been a while. You all heard about an opportunity while you were here last week in Guatemala. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. I'm going to bring it up, not much. But I do want to say this, worship does lead to witness. Lord, worship does lead to ministry. Worship does lead to saying, I have been filled up by God, and in turn, I want to share Christ, I want to share what I found in God with others. It's a natural consequence, but we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to be bouncing around a little bit, and this is what kind of God put on me. If it's a little silly again for you today, I'm sorry, it's just a silly day. But I'm glad to be here. But God gave me this idea with all the campaigning going on. Would be, imagine if somebody was, if God was campaigning. You know, if God was a candidate, and if it was my job to represent him to a group of voters. You know, they always do a group of likely voters. You know, so it's my job to represent God today to a group of likely voters, and so that's what I'm going to do, okay? And so I might talk a little bit like somebody who's a PR guy, all right? But please don't take that lightly. We're going to see it's not a light message, even if I speak that way. I'm going to read this passage of Scripture, and it'll get us started. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it." Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you, Lord, that in your word, in your prophetic word, you speak of a time when all nations will come to you. Father, you speak of a time
when your kingdom will rule and will never be replaced. And Father, as we worship you, in a time when we're thinking about candidates and campaigns and politics and leadership, would you, Father, reach to us and give us a vision of your rule that is coming. And having that vision, would you inspire us to worship? Father, we love you, and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to first mention that God is not alone in this campaign, that there are others who are campaigning for leadership in various parts of the world. As you know, it's a presidential election year. We got two main candidates, Clinton and Trump, looking to lead the United States. For lack of better terms, I'm going to lump them together and call them Clump, Clinton and Trump. So we got Clump, who's wanting to run the White House and run America. We have different people in different countries leading and doing the best they can. We got the guy in North Korea shooting off nuclear missiles. We got folks who are stealing money and taking food from their people in various places. We have places that are very primitive. In a few weeks, I'm going to be in Haiti talking to pastors who pastor people who, many of whom don't have clothes or water or anything to eat or drink. We have all this stuff going on in our world. We have a genocide going on against Christians right now as Mr. Assad leads his country in Syria, and he is taking some whatever advice and counsel from Mr. Putin, who's leading in his country, and there's all kind of different leaders and all kind of stuff going on, and everybody's vying for leadership, for power, for authority, for a place of position. It's at this time I'd like to announce the candidate whom I'm representing, that he also has a desire to rule this place. Now, there are some uniquenesses about the rule he proposes. Okay? There's some policy stuff. Don't we always want to hear more policy stuff? We want to hear more about Trump's immigration policy. And we want to know what they're going to do about getting jobs here. And we want to know about this. And we want to know about that. Well, I'd like to tell you, my candidate has some good policy issues. Okay? And so I'm going to lay some of those out. The first is that his policy is global. Okay? All the other candidates that we're going to talk about, they are going to try to rule in a particular place at a particular time. Short-term, local, regional. Even the President of the United States, as powerful as that person is still bound to a specific region, a specific country, a rule of law, and term limits. And even if those things were to go away, it's still a mortal man and he would have lifetime limits. So all the leaders that we're going to talk about in the human arena, they're small in comparison to God, who is going to rule and to reign. I read this one passage, and I want you to hear, as I read some other passages, I'm going to emphasize a particular phrase. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that all nations shall flow to the mountain of God, which has been exalted. Chapter 7, verse 9 of the book of Revelation. All nations, tribes, peoples, tongues, and nations, and tongues, standing before the throne of God and before the Lamb. Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4 says, "For all nations shall come and worship before you." Psalm chapter 82 and verse 8, which was our Sunday school lesson today, says, "Arise, O God, and judge the earth, for you shall inherit all nations." Y'all, so when I speak of the leadership of God, I'm not talking about the leadership of God for this place or at this particular time only. I'm talking about the leadership of God over this entire planet, over this entire globe, over the entire universe. All of creation is going to be under the visible rule of God, the Creator God. In the Old Testament, he said, "I am who I am." In the New Testament, he's introduced to us in the name of Jesus Christ, and there is no name above that name, no name by which we may be saved other than that name. He will rule, and he will reign on every continent, in every place, in all of his creation. It's not hard to imagine. Because even now, the cosmos, the sun, moon, and stars, the physics, the very molecular structure that makes you and I up, is controlled by the God whom I represent, the God of the Bible. He is in control already. It says all things sustain and subsist, that they're held together by the word of his power. So it's not hard for us to imagine that one day he'll also rule in the realm of politics and government, especially because the prophecies of the Bible, the one that I read in Isaiah, for instance, is hundreds of years before Christ was born, 700 years. Those in Revelation are 70 years after Christ is crucified. And we didn't even go to some of the older prophecies. The prophecy that I wrote in read in Psalms is older than those two. It's amazing who God is and what it says he's going to do. It says he's going to rule and reign. But why should we doubt that? Raise your hand if you know that you're going to live to see tomorrow because of your own power and your own strength. What about Clump? You know, the candidates who are trying to run this country. What's their lifespan? What's their integrity like? How much power do they have to actually do what they promise? Who are they? Listen, when we think about God, we know that he truly is the Almighty. We'll get to that in a moment, but he is. He holds us together. Y'all, we didn't bring ourselves here. You might have drove yourself up to church, but you didn't come here. Isn't that an awesome thing for those who have experienced the miracle of life, seeing a baby come into this world? And isn't it humbling to know at one time all of us were that helpless baby? You know, the people who seem so tough and so influential and so authoritative in this world at one time couldn't control their bladder. At one time had to be spoon-fed and bottle-fed and wiped and cleaned and bathed and carried and toted around. How come we forget that humility? How come we forget that one time our whole lives was in somebody's hands, and somehow we grow up to think now we're not in those hands and it's all about human leadership and what's going on in politics? Let me tell you, God will rule all nations. A verse that we've read several times during this series. I love it. Revelation 11:15. Then the seventh angel sounded. That's the latter days. Then the seventh angel sounded. I heard loud voices in heaven saying, "Behold, look, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Anyways, that's how the song goes. But y'all, why should we be surprised about this? We look at the world now and it seems like it's so unruly. It seems so corrupt. It seems so divisive. Well, I'm telling you, God one day is going to rule everywhere. You say, well, what about those places that don't like him? He'll especially rule there. Yeah. It says of him, he'll rule with a rod of iron. It says that ultimately, the one who defeated death is going to defeat all his enemies just the same. Death and all his enemies will become his footstool. That's what it says about our God. That's what it says about the candidate that I represent right now. He has a global policy. Not just a national policy. Not just a policy for Grenada. Not just for here and there. But for everybody. For the Koreans, the Chinese, the Africans, the Russians, the Europeans, the South Americans, the North Americans. Everybody falls under his rule. We will see that. He also has a plan for salvation. You might say, oh man, this sounds boring. Listen, what is it that these candidates, that Clump, our candidates here in the United States, are always trying to say? We'll make America great again. We're going to do things for you. I'm going to promise you things. I'm going to do things that really help you. I'm going to make your life better. You can have a better life on the road to hell all day long. See, These politicians can't do anything to help you or me or the people they're making these promises to. Because if you're a rich person on the way to destruction, or if you're a poor person on the way to destruction, you're on the way to destruction. And it doesn't matter if you have some jingle in your pocket, if you have a job, or if you have health care, if you have all these other things. If somebody doesn't take care of you, of your soul, if somebody does not secure you, they haven't really helped you. They've just made your life a little bit, maybe a little bit easier. One of the indictments that God makes against some politicians in the time of Jeremiah, he says this: "You've healed the wounds of my people slightly. You said peace, peace, when there was no peace." In our vernacular, you'd say this: "You put a Band-Aid on a gunshot, and you said, it's going to be all right." Can I tell you something? The most well-resourced people who ever lived on planet Earth, we know who they were. They were Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had everything they needed without working. And that's kind of like the New American Dream. Have everything you need without working. Food popped out of the ground, and they didn't even have to get behind the rototiller like blah, 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 blah. It just came up. They didn't even have to run irrigation ditches or anything. It says the ground just misted up water. It was so nice, the climate, that they didn't have to wear clothes. I know what you're thinking. It'd probably be best if we still wore clothes. Well, see, but that's because we're here now. We need clothes to protect us from the sun. We need clothes to protect us from the cold. We need clothes to protect us from not seeing things that we don't want to see and can't get out of our brain. But at that time, these people were so well-resourced, they didn't even need clothes to survive. They didn't need those things. They were so connected to one another that they didn't need those things. They were so well-connected to God that there was no shame with them. There was no guilt with them. There was no problems with them. Do y'all get where I'm getting at? The best resourced people on the planet were Adam and Eve. And what did they do? They still sinned. Can I tell you something? If we spend our ever-loving life and every last penny to get the under-resourced fully resourced, it's not going to change the character of the people who are resourced. We are still going to find that people have a fatal flaw inside them. I have a fatal flaw inside me. And if God don't take care of it, it won't be taken care of. And it doesn't matter if you put me on $1 million pension plan. By the way, have you ever thought about putting me on $1 million pension plan? No. I mean, it doesn't matter to me, but it's not going to make me less a sinner. It's not going to make me more holy. It's not going to make me more in line with God. It's not going to make me righteous before God. If God doesn't intervene, there's no hope. If God's not the builder, they who build it labor in vain. And let me tell you about God's plan to actually help people, okay? What he does, it takes a little more patience to see. It takes a spiritual outlook. But listen to this. Up in that song in Revelation 7, 9 and 10, it says this. It says, that group, all nations, peoples, tribes, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and they're crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation. My candidate has a plan to actually save the souls of people. My candidate has a plan to actually transform sinners into children of God who can get to heaven, not based on their merit, but based on the fact that their filthy rags have been replaced by a white robe that Christ himself paid for, that they might wear it and be clean. Let me tell you something that he does. It says that he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And I promise you, Candidate Clump cannot take away anything bad that's hurting you or anything in this nation. And there's not a leader on this earth who can. Christ alone can offer this because Christ alone paid for this. It's been authorized from the upper office. It's been authorized from headquarters. It's been authorized and paid for and available to all who believe. And what happens is there's a great exchange. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. And what does that mean? That means that every person in Christ becomes acceptable, accepted, beloved. That there can be a real life change. Life change doesn't happen by getting these material resources or getting attaboys or getting jobs or getting all these things. It happens when there's a great exchange. Our guilt, our sin, our shame is put onto Christ. And Christ takes what is His standing before the Father, and He offers it to us. And we stand and say, wow, this guy, this God who wants to rule this world, He first made it available for me to be in His family, under His leadership. It cost Him. Candidate Klump doesn't have near the skin in the game that my candidate does. Candidate Klump has no investment in this country. None of the leaders of the world have any kind of investment in this world like the one whom I'm representing, the Creator, Savior, and Sustainer of this world, to whom all nations will one day belong. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it's a great verse. It says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is not an empty promise. This is God's plan for salvation, that we acknowledge our faults and failings to a God who loves us, and He corrects us, but He accepts us. He fits us for His kingdom. Oh, and that's the place to be. Can you imagine? I mean, the Klump candidate, they have their people who they're going to bring into their cabinet, they're going to bring into their office, they're going to bring in to help give them advice, they're going to bring in, they're going to give them jobs and high-paying things. It happens with every change of leadership. It happens here in our town. New city managers means new city workers, which means new city this, means all this stuff. But who are you to them? What if you don't know them? What if you're not close to them? What do you get? What do I get? You know what I love about God? His plan for salvation is applicable. It's applicable for everybody, everywhere. Not just the rich, not just the influential, not for those who can simply help the candidate out. He's for you. He's for me. And if I was preaching, matter of fact, there are representatives of this same candidate right now preaching in communist China. There are representatives of the same candidate preaching the same plan of salvation in Guatemala right now, or in Haiti, or in these places, in Russia. Some of them are covert. But God, the King who is coming with the kingdom that is coming, is being preached all over this world this morning. I think it's an awesome thing. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's somebody out in the bush of Africa preaching to a bunch of folks, and they're under a big old broom tree, and they're celebrating. Because you should see some of those services. They celebrate. In Brazil, they celebrate, and they're talking about God. They're speaking about His plan of salvation and talking about how good He is. I'm going to tell you, you don't need a health care plan if you don't got a salvation plan. Your health care plan is insignificant if you don't have a salvation plan, and there's not but one that works. Your retirement plan is insignificant because you don't know if you're ever going to make it. People in my generation have already learned whatever we paid into Social Security, some of y'all are getting, but we ain't. That's not for us. It's for the people who came before us, and we just get taxed to keep up with the agreement that some other well-meaning person meant to give to somebody else that we're never going to get to because the math says it's going to run out before we get there. But all that's insignificant because I don't know that I'd ever get to the age where I'd be applicable for it. But I know God saves me now. And all His benefits are fully available to anyone who's in Christ. 100%. More than what you and I could ever imagine. It actually says that in the Word. Never has eye seen, nor has ear heard, nor has it entered into the imagination of man what God has prepared for those who love Him. It's beyond what you can see, what you've heard, or what you can think. It's awesome. So we make all these plans, you know, about how it's going to be and all these policies, and we neglect the plan that doesn't fail. Well, I want my children to have a good future. Well, tell them about the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I want my children to be secure. Tell them about the one who said, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I'm coming back to bring you where I am. Tell them about the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. Tell them about the blood that cleanses us from all our sin. Tell them about the robe that they can wear, not because they earned it, but because he puts it on them, and we can be part of that crowd that cries out, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. Let's tell them those things. Let's invest. You want to invest in something? You know, there are people. Have y'all kept up on how much money gets spent in these campaigns? I don't think there's been anything compared to the last campaign between President Obama and Mitt Romney. The money was outrageous. I could have took a 1%. 1%. Half of the money went to support a loser who didn't get the office. The other half to the one who kept the office. So half of what everybody gave didn't accomplish what they wanted it to accomplish anyway. And if we could add 1%, that'd be all right. You know, imagine there was, I think, close to a billion. It's crazy how much money, how much investment in these local, temporal leaders, and yet how shy we are to proclaim the plan of salvation that will never fail because of the Savior who will never fail. So I encourage you, be a messenger of his salvation. That's why I want to mention again Guatemala. Y'all be praying, but pray with integrity. If you feel like God wants you to go on a foreign mission trip and you don't have a passport, it's like praying God will give you money but not looking for a job. You know, if you think that God's going to call you to use you somewhere overseas and you don't have a passport, go get one. Start taking steps. Start talking to the people in your family. You know, if you're married and, you know, you think you might leave the country to go serve Christ for a week or two, there might be somebody living in your house that you need to inform of those things. So you don't just go one day, hey, by the way, babe, can you drop me off in Jackson? I'm going to Guatemala. Be like, we should have talked about these things. You know, it costs money. It costs between $1,000 and $1,500 per person to go to Guatemala. Are you going to pray and start saving money along those lines? You know, think about those things. But let me tell you why we would go. Because the candidate whom we represent, he's not bound to Grenada, Mississippi. He works just as well in Guatemala. Matter of fact, sometimes when people are very poor and destitute and they're looking for a hope, sometimes it seems like they're even more open to hear what he has to say. So just think about being a messenger of this plan of salvation, a messenger of his salvation. I don't like saying plan of salvation. I say it, it's kind of like a political term, but let me tell you, it's all about Christ. Okay? It's not about this plan. If you follow A, B, and C, hey, trust Jesus Christ. Trust that he himself has done it all, and it's finished. And if you believe in him, you're saved. It's not about a plan or a formula as much as it is about a man. Be a messenger of the man of salvation, Jesus Christ. Last, I want you to think about the service. This is a worship service, a global worship service. There's a couple songs that speak to that. One of them, I think Chris Tomlin has a song out now, and it's got all these different languages and how great is our God. You know, and all of a sudden it busts out into, you know, different languages, which I don't know any of them, but they sound like, and then the Russian stuff, you know, and I can't do it. You know, it starts going, but it brings a vision to my mind where people all around the world in their heart languages are lifting their voice up to God and saying, you know what, these rulers, these leaders, these presidents, these dictators that we have to endure now, I can endure them in faith because I know the one true God is coming to rule and reign. And right now I want us to just turn our focus, turn our attention, turn our heart and mind to God. And I want you to hear this from Revelation 15. Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints, or O King of heaven. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. We look to God. We don't have to look the other way like we have to for our candidates in this country this year. I think more people are voting against somebody else than they are voting for somebody. We don't. When we look at God, we don't have to make excuses. Well, you know, she just lies a little bit, and he's just racist a little bit, and, you know, it's just a little bit of stuff like that. That's all. You know, no big deal. Let's look the other way. When we look at God, we don't have to make excuses for how they make false promises. God doesn't make false promises. You know, somebody's going to build something. Somebody's going to give jobs to somebody. Somebody's going to do all these things. And here's the bottom line. We've known. If you've been alive long enough, you know this. Presidents can't do a whole lot. You know, we have a system to where there's a president, there's a House of Representatives, and there's a, you know, and the Senate, and then there's a judicial system. Even though we don't might have confidence in any of those things, you know, we don't have a system where the president can just make his promises appear and happen just as he wants to. So we hear all these promises from people who, one, can't make it according to the system, and two, really don't have the ability to, and yet there's God who says, I will never leave you or forsake you. I will give you of my spirit. I give you my word. I've given you my son. Man, we all start looking at him and say, why do I bother looking at these other folks as if there's some kind of hope in them, some kind of salvation in them, some kind of future in them? President Obama once said, the future does not belong to those who dishonor the prophet of Islam. And you know what I say? That's right. That's right. And the future does not belong to those who honor the name of the prophet of Islam. The future does not belong to those who lead communist regimes. The future does not belong to those who oppose communist regimes. The future does not belong to those who are filthy, filthy rich. The future doesn't belong to those who are jealous of those who are filthy, filthy rich. The future does not belong to those who are anti-American, and the future does not belong to those who are outrageously pro-American. The future doesn't belong to anybody but God, because He is the only one we can say these things of. Great and marvelous, just and true. You alone, it says, are holy. Who shall not fear you? Who shall not glorify you? There's going to come a time when everybody on the face of the earth is going to simultaneously, some of us have done this already, but everybody at one point will. Every knee shall bow. Even those who have based their government on the fact that they say there is no God, their knee will bow to God. Their tongue, even those who have blasphemed Christ, at some point are going to say, Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. That's happening. That's the candidate I represent. That's the God of the Bible. That's why we don't need to back down. That's why we don't need to be ashamed. Everybody else is peddling something temporary, local, inefficient, powerless, compared to our God and King, who will come and reign forever and ever. We ought never be ashamed. We ought to be promoting His gospel. We ought to be investing in His kingdom. We ought to be looking toward Him. And we ought not let this other stuff rock the boat. I'm going to tell you, He's coming, He's good, and we ought to worship Him. We ought to be a message, a messenger, not only of His salvation, but also of His awesomeness. Can I use that word? When I think about this passage, it's the best I can do. He's awesome. God is awesome. He's awesome. We get to behold Him. Who shall not fear you? That is the idea of who will not be inspired by awe when they come face to face with their Maker. Because He's awesome, and we get to proclaim Him beforehand. Don't get caught up. Don't get divisive. Christians, don't you turn on your fellow Christians, because within the Church of Christ right now, not everybody's divided. We're still fighting over the clumps. One person's for this part of the clump and the other person's for that part of the clump. If we come together and say they ain't nothing but clumps, we ought to worship God and the church of God unite and be messengers of salvation and messengers of the glory of God, we'd be doing so much better. I hope in your heart, daily, you vote that you're going to live for God and be that messenger. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for what you're doing in your church. Thank you for what you're doing in this world. And Lord, I just pray the prayer you told us. You said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory forever and ever. Father, have your way in your church. Help us to be exceedingly loyal to the name of Jesus Christ above every name. Never turning back, nor being ashamed, proudly proclaiming that your rule is a forever rule. It's a global rule. It has salvation as its base, and you are the glorious light and power of it all. Help us, Father, to be a church that honors you and worships you in all that we do. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look, we're going to have a song of invitation. The invitation is this. If anything in your life has caused you either to be ashamed, not confident, awkward about who God is and what his plan is, I invite you just to come lay it down. There might be someone here who doesn't know Christ and never thought of him as being king. The scripture says he is. It says when he appears, it's going to say something written on him. King of kings and Lord of lords. It's who he is. If you never saw him that way, maybe you need to submit yourself to him. Maybe you need to submit your preferences to him. Maybe you're someone who got caught up so much in their own way. But whatever you need to do, if God's spoken to you in any way, this time is yours during this song. You come and pray and lay it out to God.
There's nothing to darken.
Anyways, that's a beautiful song. There's a couple prayer needs I just want to lay on you. One is Adam just brought to my attention and asked if we would pray for the Sheriff's Department over in Carroll County as they investigate the murder of Kim Daves that happened in the Black Hawk area about a year ago, but they're asking churches around to be prayerful and to be mindful. And I'd appreciate y'all doing that. On way of mission, I'd ask for y'all to pray. I'm going with a team of pastors to Haiti at the beginning of next month. I'm not going to miss any Wednesday Sundays. It's going to be during the week, but I covet your prayers. And also, there's an evangelism event going on in Carroll County that week, starting the 2nd of October, going through the 7th. They're charging up the old tabernacle. There's a tabernacle there, if anybody's familiar with. It's in North Carrollton, right at the river, and it's going to be evangelistic crusade where they're just preaching the gospel with the idea of seeing people saved. Not a revival to call the church back, but to call people out of darkness into light, and that's the purpose of it, and I ask y'all to pray. Lastly, and I haven't said anything about this all day, in light of this message, you know, we may have come in the last 15 years away from wondering how relevant it is that leadership throughout this world is solid, and how important it is to have our loyalty to God and look forward to His coming kingdom. But I bet you 15 years ago on this day, we wouldn't have had one bit of question why it was so important as we saw those towers fall and we watched people killed in cold blood. There would have been no question that something needs to happen, that a righteous and just judge needs to handle this, that the one who does great and marvelous works, the God Almighty, needs to take care of this. Matter of fact, all our politicians, whatever their personal backgrounds were, gathered together in our nation's capital and prayed and asked God to take it. 15 years is a long time, and we come very distant from those things, but I want to remind you in a message like today, how relevant it is and how crazy a world we live in, and that we ought to look toward Christ our Lord for leadership and His coming rule and not be shaken by the other things. Pray for those who this day rekindles for them tremendous loss, personal loss. It's a sense of loss for all of us on 9/11, but some more so than others. Some who probably couldn't get out of their homes today because they lost their son, their daughter, their grandchildren, their grandparents, their parents, their friends, their brothers, their sisters, their co-workers. And they lost them in a miserable, tragic way because of a lie, because of craziness. And one day all that will end. And we need to be looking toward that day. Oh, glorious day. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come forward and take up the morning offering. As they do, I'm going to pray. Father God, thank You for how You love us. Lord, on this anniversary, we remember why we should be so determinedly directed to Your leadership
So lead us, O Lord, we're yours. We can't speak for the nation, but Lord, may we be able to speak for the church and say, we are yours. Use us. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, welcome to our guests. So glad that you're here. If you don't have a church home, you're welcome here. Also want to remind you, we're starting Bible study, small group Bible study tonight, or small groups might not be all Bible study. Miss Maggie, right? What time? 5 o'clock for the women. And for the men, 5 o'clock. I'm looking to Maggie because we kind of follow each other. So 5 o'clock tonight. If there's a sign-up sheet if you want to sign up. I don't know if there's any room left on the women's one to sign up. If you need to get up and you want to come, y'all come. For the men's group, you just come on. And 5 o'clock tonight, all right? I think we're good. All right, let me close this. Father God, thank you for loving us. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey,
I love you all. Thank you for
letting me be your pastor. Ready? Break.